it mean a lot. You know, I remember that plane ride back home vividly. You know, everybody was just frustrated. You know, that feeling sucked. You know, I know for me that was one thing that's on my mind. You know, once I realized we was going back to Miami, it's not to have that same feeling.
DeMar doesn't want to feel the way he felt.
Wait for it. Wow, wow. Wow, wow. But then wait for it a little bit more, just because it's good today.
Chicago's very own Tom Morello.
Wait. Here it is. I forgot this was the instrumental, because the first several bars of the instrumental and the song are the same, because they're
both on parade.
Instrumental. Ah. You know what? I'm going to be an old for a second. There's some pretty good music that still doesn't... You know, it withstands the test of time and still goes harder than a lot of things now.
Rage Against the Machine? Oh, hell yeah.
Yes. They count in this.
It's funny, though, because there have been a lot of people who have co-opted Rage Against the Machine that don't get that.
They don't understand what the title of the band means.
Yeah, that, like, they don't get that they're the... Never mind.
Cody... Negative attention given to a narcissist is still a reward.
Cody Westerlund covers the Bulls for us here at The Score. You can read his work on 670thescore.com. Often he comes on to be on this radio show to talk about the Bulls. He's joining us today on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. Okay, Cody, here we are. It's play-in time again. Winner go home. The winner gets Boston. What's the latest on the injury front for both Miami and for the Bulls?
Well, Alex Caruso told reporters at Shootaround in Miami this morning he expects to play tonight with the left ankle sprain that's been nagging him. We saw him get trucked at midcourt by Andre Drummond the other night, and basically when that happened, all his body parts hurt, and the left ankle's what's really bothered him for weeks, so that's the one that continues to throb. So it's looking optimistic that the Bulls have a really key player for this game, but you got to question it too. Like, can he give the Bulls 32 minutes that are good? 36 minutes are good. Is he going to be hobbled? Is he going to be slowed down? Could you see him not playing much in the second half like the other night when he gave it a go? So I think there's a lot to still be learned about Alex Caruso's physical state tonight, even if he is on the court when the ball tips off. Andre Drummond obviously slowed the other night by that ankle sprain, but did return. You figure it's probably the same thing where he goes out there, but he's clearly not at 100% for the Bulls. Ayo Dosunmu returned the other night, was really good. He looks close to 100%. And on the Heat side, out is Jimmy Butler and Terry Rozier. And Jimmy Butler's the big one. Everyone in Chicago knows him in that name and knows he'd play through anything if he could. But Pierce, he has an MCL injury in his knee. So he's a no-go, which makes it really interesting because these teams played four times in November and December across those 2 months, and tonight's probably not going to look much like that because Jimmy Butler is out. Zach LaVine played in a couple of those early matchups. Patrick Williams played for the Bulls, so it's kind of a new cast of characters, at least half of them tonight.
Yeah, that's how I feel, is the typical Bulls slayers for the Heat are not ones you can count on, and vice versa. So I don't know what happens, but I have a pretty good idea of what happens after that.
Being what?
Boston.
Someone, either the Heat or the Bulls losing four, maybe five games, you're saying. Yes, if we're looking ahead here, this is a very favorable outcome for the Celtics because it was in the realm of possibility if Jimmy had stayed healthy in that play-in game, if the Heat made a couple more three-pointers, that the Sixers could be playing tonight and trying to get the eight seed in that first-round matchup. So, yes, the prize for these two teams is not something that's going to go very well moving forward across the next couple of weeks. But nonetheless, we know that Heat culture wants to get to the playoffs and give themselves a chance, and they revel in giving the Celtics a hard time, even if they don't beat them. And they did beat them last year in a classic seven-game series that was wild. And the Bulls, like, look, guys, this is what the Bulls play for, right? Like, they want to be competitive. There is nothing like being in the spotlight of the 8-9 game and being competitive and trying to get there. Like, this is what the Bulls built. Obviously, they would rather be competitive in the sense of a 4, 5, 6 seed in the East and an automatic first round matchup in the playoffs against someone. But that's not their lot right now. They have to earn it. So the Bulls are in this situation by design, because if they had traded away a few players at the trade deadline, they easily could have been the 10 seed, maybe not won that first game at home in the play-in round. maybe could have dropped to 11. I don't think so. But look, they kept their guys at the trade deadline, like two we just talked about, Alex Caruso, Andre Drummond, key veterans that contribute for them so that they can contribute everything tonight, whether it's as a starter, off the bench, whatever it is, to go as far as they can. And then, like you said, Layla, probably run into a buzzsaw that is the Boston Celtics, whoever wins this one.
Do you think the Bulls as an organization consider this a success if they make it to the eighth seed, or was it already a success because they got to the play-in?
No, I don't think anything's considered a success right now. Now, if you're going to ask me how will AK spin it at a season-ending press conference, yes, he will spin it in an optimistic tone, but most people I don't think consider this a success. I think they did want more. Billy Donovan's not ever going to consider 39 wins a success. He doesn't want to go out in the first round. And look, there's differing opinions throughout different levels of the organization, no doubt. I mean, I think ownership's happy if they get a few home playoff games. They like the home play-in game, obviously. The United Center was just electric the other night. A great atmosphere. Everyone in management, certainly. Everyone wants to have that atmosphere, even if it's just for a couple games. But I don't consider it a success. I would guess you two, I'll let you guys weigh in, probably don't. There's some small measure, I think, of relief if they can get there. But I don't think it's a success. But that is a different answer and question and plot to navigate rather than how will AK spin it. I think internally, privately, from things I hear, like, he's more realistic in the private discussions than he is in the public discussions.
Which makes sense, and I understand that. I wish the gap was bridged a little bit more then, because I want to hear a president of basketball operations say he wasn't satisfied. I would like that, especially given the team that he did help put together, who is the champion. And they get to defend that right now, which is kind of the goal. You know what I mean? So for me, I wish that were the case. Like, I would like to see an angrier Tarris Karnišovas. I think that would be appreciated by a lot of Bulls fans. But in this case, I understand that there's an element of triage that was done this season. We've talked about the 5-14 start. It is a good thing that they were able to dig themselves out of it, but they also, as we know, got themselves into it. So that's what makes this hard, is when you know that the decisions coming after this are even more difficult with a guy like DeMar. We're trying to figure out if you have a market for Zach LaVine, which I think is still very much in the air.
Well, that you bring up the great point. Like, no one's denying that there's $70, $80 million sitting on the bench injured between Zach LaVine, Lonzo Ball, and Patrick Williams. And I think it's commendable that this team played so hard every night. The guys that did take the floor, like, I'm not criticizing anyone from the time the ball went up in the air till the buzzer sounded. Like, I always felt like they gave it their all there.
Right.
But this is still the same team. They opened the season with the healthy Zach LaVine for the most part and Patrick Williams, and they were 5-14 with those guys. So it's like you're commending them and then saying all this money is not producing anything. Well, when they did have a lot of that money, and Lonzo Ball's off to the side here in his own world with an injury for two straight years now that's kept him out. So he's different, but they had those other guys and started 5-14. So, like, don't tell me the money sitting on the bench was the answer, because at the start of the year, that was not the answer in any way. So I just think that's the subplot and the context of it. And like you said, Layla, I mean, all signs are pointing toward the Bulls bringing back DeMar DeRozan, who gave really strong comments to Casey Johnson at NBC Sports Chicago the other day about wanting to come back, what Chicago means to him, the organization, and how well he gets along with everyone. And it's tracking as if the Bulls are going to do everything on earth they can to trade Zach LaVine. And the question is, when can that happen? And I don't think anyone knows, because when he requested a trade in November, we all figured he'd be gone by the trade deadline, and the market didn't pan out for various reasons, injuries and also underperformance and concern about his contract and other things. So it's kind of a toss up how the rest of the league's going to view him. And the big pivot point, maybe the fulcrum of the discussions, is what do the Bulls want in return for him? Obviously, if they wanted to just get rid of him for nothing or even include an asset, they probably could. But if they're asking to get anything back, that's where the negotiations and the stalemate just prolongs longer and longer and longer this offseason, which it's It's interesting. That's what we're talking about, looking forward to already, because we all know there's kind of a ceiling here. It's either tonight or in a couple weeks. It feels like the Bulls are going to be done.
Tonight, the Bulls take on the Heat in the NBA play-in tournament. Pre-game coverage on the Score starts at 5:45 with tip-off at 6.
Well, the other piece of that, too, I think, is if we're going to go to the end of the season discussion, which I feel like is already happening with all of us, it's also figuring out, again, who Patrick Williams would be moving forward. Like, that to me becomes the actual flashpoint then. If you've decided on Vooch, if you decide on DeMar, and you've signed Zach to this deal and you have him until you don't, then that just becomes even more pivotal. And it's asking the question, can you develop him with the same confidence that you just did with Io and Kobe? You know, that's the other part of this that I think just becomes stressful to think about.
Yeah, and Io and Kobe, I would say both of them have had better mental states throughout their career than Patrick Williams has, right? And I say that for a couple reasons. I mean, all the on-the-record quotes that Patrick Williams has given about, you know, just some of his uncertainty going through things. And that's not to say he doesn't work hard. Like, that's completely separate of this. But, like, Kobe and Io are really, really tough players with their mindset. And you think about Patrick Williams, he's been in and out of the starting lineup. And like, he never seemed to care ever about getting pulled from the starting lineup, which is commendable in one way because he's saying, I'll do what's best for the team. But you do want to see him get really mad sometimes. And you don't always see that. And that's not going to solve everything. But it does, I think, show you a little bit of someone's mindset. So he is a little bit different, I think, just from how Kobe and Io handled struggles. And I think it's certainly worth bringing him back on a fair contract. The multi-year extensions that they're trying to work out before the season with Patrick Williams was believed to be what, around maybe $17 million a year, a little more than that or something. Didn't work out, so the Bulls will want a lower price with that, obviously coming off the injury too and not having a big year. So it feels like they could get him at fair value. But like, I wouldn't be married to Patrick Williams in the offseason or anything. You know, like, I think the Bulls, if there are trade options there that someone really wants him and it helps you with what you're getting back, you got to be willing to give him up. If someone signs him to a big offer in restricted free agency, like, I wouldn't be scared to let him go if the contract's too big for your liking. So I think there's optionality there in how they have him. And the big questions too, like, I mean, like you said, Layla, if they just run back this whole roster, Patrick Williams is getting a pay raise. DeMar's probably going to get a little bit of a pay raise, obviously, for how he's overperformed his contract, to pay raise on an annual basis. That's only sending the bill up, and they're already near the luxury tax line. So they got a lot of things to work out. And I think Patrick Williams, one of them, like, he's a good player if you lower your expectations for what you want him to be, right? He's a good defender, good off ball, can block shots, get steals. Like, those things matter for the Bulls defense. Does not rebound well enough though. So like, there are things, he has strengths and weaknesses. So if you think he can fit into your system with what you need, go for it. But I think you got to have an open mind with what you do with him in the offseason.
Let's get back to tonight. How would the Bulls win if they were to win?
Well, I think it is DeMar being DeMar, which we all know what that means. And then I think it's either Kobe or Vooch, depending on how the Heat play, right? Kobe's coming off a huge game, 42 points the other night in the play-in round. If the Heat give him a lot of attention, maybe it goes to Vooch. They get him off the ball a little bit more. The Heat tend to play zone at various points in the game, played a lot of it in the first half against the 76ers. The other night, have played it against the Bulls this season. If that's the case, and Vooch gets middle and he can get to kind of the paint, the elbow, the free throw line areas, like, he's a willing passer. He can make some plays and shots in there. Vooch, you know, we don't want him on the block posting up. That's not good modern basketball to watch in this city. But he is comfortable hitting those little floaters, those mid-range shots in the paint, and he can exploit the Heat. Now, Kobe, I think, is the other wild card, obviously. If Kobe plays really well like the other night, you got to love the Bulls' chances because it feels like you know what you'll get from DeMar DeRozan, especially on a night with Jimmy Butler out. That's only got to make life a tad easier for DeMar on the offensive end. So if the Bulls can get another big contributor behind DeMar, I think you got to like their chances. The Heat right now offensively, that I just think they're going to struggle to keep up. Like, the Heat's way to win this game is to muck it up and play through Bam Adebayo in the high post. He's a great passer. He has the potential, Bam does, to be the best player on the floor tonight, even with injuries to both teams. So that would be the Heat's path to victory. Get some three-pointers from Tyler Hero. If Duncan Robinson comes back healthy, he's been dealing with the back ailment, and he's been available the other night but didn't play. So he can certainly knock down threes if he's open and healthy. So that's kind of the Heat's plan of attack. Winning on the defensive end, they got probably the best X's and O's coach in the NBA, and Eric Spoelstra. He's going to have a great game plan. That's why the Heat are favored, because they're at home, they have Eric Spoelstra, and this is just what they do. So to me, it's the Bulls' path to victory. It's just, if Vooch can get in the middle of that defense in the zone and make good decisions, you got to like their chances, or if Kobe stays hot there. And for the Heat, it's just classic grind it out game. And have a little bit better defense. Because one thing that should be noted, everyone here, there are four units on the floor when you look at offense and defense on both teams. The only good one on the floor is the Heat's defense, right? They're fifth in the NBA in defensive efficiency. They have the best unit in the game tonight. Another reason, obviously, they're favored there. So just remember that. The Bulls' offense and defense, both below average. The Heat's offense, below average. The Heat's defense has been very good and won't be what it has always been without Jimmy Butler, but it is certainly still good.
Cody, as always, man, you are the best. Enjoy the game tonight, sir.
Yep, take care and have great weekends.
Thanks, Cody.
It's Cody Westlund. Maybe we'll talk to him on Monday if the Bulls win this game in advance to take on the Celtics in the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, we should.
How are you watching tonight? Like, what's your move tonight? Is this a night where you're going to be out in these streets and watch it, or are you going to bunker in?
DVR. It'll be a half watch, whole watch.
Those are two separate watches. Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
I'm actually going to try and watch it for joy tonight instead of like for what we do.
Can I confess, though? Here's what ends up happening.
Sure.
I just end up watching the whole game when I'm out anyway. My friends are nice people who know I get distracted by sports.
Yeah.
I love them for it.
Whenever you have a non-sportsy friend that takes one of us out to go do stuff and like there's a significant game on. Afia and I had this on opening day.
Afia gets it.
She gets it, but I was like, yeah, so the White Sox game is not over yet, so I'm watching that. And
we were watching the meaningless Rangers and Astros game at dinner the other night last week. Yeah. All of us. It was right in front of me. What was I going to do? Not watch it?
She gets it though, so she laughs when I'm distracted. I'm like, I can't order anything because I want to see what Garrett Crochet is going to do next.
That's the problem with Stadium Swim is I'm like 7 hours later.
Yeah, man.
I'm like, oh, let me watch this random Mets and Braves game. Oh, Jose Quintana is starting. I like Jose Quintana. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, the Stadium Swim has all sorts of distractions.
Let me watch seven different angles of the Masters.
Studs was just out there. Like every time I came back to Stadium Swim, I looked back in the cabana and there was Studs.
Yeah, Studs
killed
it. I
spent all of Friday afternoon in the cabana.
We did.
In the area. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Layla.
Well, I heard that there was an incident, too.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that on Monday.
Yeah, there's a whole thing that happened.
When the waitress is appalled, that's how you know it's bad. Because she's seen some things.
Yeah, man. What you described was egregious.
Trashy.
Like
trash.
I don't ever
trashy.
Use that word, but that was trashy behavior.
You throw some hands.
Look up trash person.
I'm leaving right now. You're not leaving. It's right now.
Right now is right now.
Also, how did you even get in here? Like, that's always my... No, that's Club Layla. How did you even get
wristbands.
Into VIP?
There's no wristbands. You know.
Well, I'm like, first of all, who's letting you in? Go away.
Exactly. You want to do our version of a Cubs pregame show?
We need to, and I have a question that I need somebody to answer for me, Cubs-wise, because I don't understand.
Okay, there's that. Plus...
The lineup got tricky today.
Yes, and what if I told you that someone's getting better at a position that they're playing? Shocking how that might happen when given more opportunities to play it.
Wait, but Jim Margulis just talked about that earlier on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score.
The one move that's rolled towards third. Morrell off balance. Oh, nice play. Christopher turning in a fine effort here today on the defensive end.
Cubs baseball is coming up at 12:45. By the way, join The Score in Budweiser on Thursday, May 2nd at Harry Carey's Tavern, Navy Pier, for the 26th annual worldwide toast to Harry Carey. Parkins and Spiegel are going to be there. They're broadcasting live from 4 to 7 with actor and comedian Jason Alexander.
I got a lot of questions for him.
Leading the toast at 5:30, the worldwide toast to Harry Carey is brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you. Jake Berger not in the lineup for the Marlins, but Tim Anderson is.
Jake is still on the injured list, right?
That is correct. T.A. will bat sixth and play shortstop. Cubs lineup is as follows. Horner at second. Wisdom in right.
Patrick Wisdom back and in right field.
Cody Bellinger in center. Christopher Morel is your DH. Dansby Swanson is your shortstop. Ian Happ in left. Garrett Cooper is at first. Madrigal's at third. And Miguel Amaya is catching. Jameson Taillon will pitch. He's back too.
That is something that I know we're looking forward to. Nico Horner talked about it pregame yesterday because he was one of the few who talked before they decided to postpone. But I don't know. I want to see how good Taillon feels. You know, I know that's going to be ramping up for him because he missed all of spring training with that back issue.
There are a lot of questions that go on with Jameson Taillon. One of the things that people have been worried about has been Christopher Morel playing third base.
You mean Dan?
Yep. So things have apparently gotten a little bit better. He's made some plays. He looks a little bit more comfortable. Our guy, Coombe, spoke about that and whether or not it can continue.
He's got to figure this out. There's no doubt that the Wisdom move was made because we're going to face three lefties, I believe, in a row. So that's one of the things. That's why Mastroboni goes back to the minor leagues. You look at they've tried different guys in the outfield. I know Patrick played in Iowa the other day, played the outfield. I think he played left field. So I got to believe there's going to be a little bit of a tryout in the outfield. It would not surprise me at all if you saw Wisdom in right field in the next couple of days. He's a guy, he's a great athlete and can really run. They have the discussion is do you, not if you're going to, but do you put Morel out there in the outfield? I'm kind of in your camp, David. I think Morel has done a very nice job at third base, and you can see his progression is getting better, right? The defense is getting better. He's getting smoother on the routine. The routine is becoming more routine, I guess you might say, that's a way of describing it. And I like his work. He's done very well, and I'm happy for him. So I'm with you. I would leave him at third base, and let's try to figure out the outfield with some of the other pieces.
I felt like he had a great defensive road trip. I mean, just based on, you know, you're playing in the middle of the night. I'm not staying up all night, but I'm watching all the highlights, and there were some real highlights.
Well, here's the thing about him, Mike. He is a dynamic player, and he's a great athlete. And I know Craig Counsell doesn't like hearing about guys being great athletes when you're playing baseball. He wants guys to catch the ball, get outs. You know, everybody's a good player in the big leagues. But I agree with you. I do believe his athletic ability over other people allow him to make certain plays, and he's made them. He's got a cannon for an arm. He's made some plays going to his backhand side that were just unbelievable and huge plays for the Cubs. That's been great. And to me, it's a wow moment. But he's also made some plays that are difficult third base plays that the average fan just expects you to make when you're watching. And a good third baseman makes them. And you know what? Now he's starting to make them. His footwork is getting better and better and better. To me, it all comes down to his internal game clock of understanding how much time he's got before he's got to deliver the baseball to first base. That is getting better and better because he's playing. He's out there every day, and he's making those plays. I love Christopher's work. I love what the Cubs are doing with him, and I'm real happy for him because I see the progression getting better. He's going to be their third baseman. I really believe that. I think you're going to see him be a third base all season long.
That's a really strong statement from Coombe. What do you think about that?
I mean, especially since Coombe would know because third base is Coombe's corner.
Yep. Get it?
I feel like I go back to the phrase Kendall Gill used. He was describing Andre Drummond, but it's still the truth. Consistent.
60-40.
That too. Oh. Consistent minutes lead to consistent play. There was going to be a learning curve here. It is April 19th. It's not like we're talking about June, I don't know, 30th Six. Here.
My birthday.
There you go. It's not like we're talking about a day in June or July. We are talking about April 19th. Spring training is not the same. Everybody tells you that. It's the warm-up, but it's not an actual game. Give it some time. They came away from that road trip 5-4. As long as his defense isn't negatively affecting his offense, then let it be for a little bit so he can figure it out.
There's one more Cubs thing that you want to get to.
Yes.
I just wanted to respond to this texter.
Oh.
Texter, I heard Jason Alexander can walk into any McDonald's and they will prepare a McDLT at his request.
Okay, I was really curious about that text.
Do you think that anyone working at McDonald's knows who Jason Alexander is and or knows he used to do the McDLT commercials?
Because
I would bet you that they don't.
What about this, though? The McDonald's headquarters is here. Could he go to that and get it?
If he were on Randolph and went to that McDonald's,
correct.
Sure. If he goes to the McDonald's on 51st and Lake Park Avenue in Hyde Park, I don't think that's happening for him.
Sometimes when I really want to treat myself, it's McDonald's breakfast.
Yeah.
Breakfast burrito.
So funny. I was thinking about McDonald's breakfast early in the week.
And just their basic burger is really good to me. Their cheap one, the cheapest.
I've come to the conclusion the sausage McMuffin is elite.
I was going to say is elite. Yep.
I was always a sausage biscuit guy.
No, it's the muffin.
Now sausage McMuffin. I don't need the egg either.
Oh, I like the egg. Okay, we're off topic, but I just want to ask this.
90 seconds.
Dude, Hayden Wisniewski did a really nice job, and then they sent him back down. Are you sure that's what you wanted to do? I mean, you did it, so yes, but come on, man. Four scoreless, that was a really good step in an excellent direction for him.
Yeah.
Right?
I think they've got issues, too, with whether or not Kyle Hendricks can still do the job.
I just want to ask the question. So I'm asking on behalf of somebody who's put in work to get to that point again.
Yes, Texer, that you asked the right question. The average McDonald worker probably has no idea what a McDLT is.
I'm not going to lie.
That's
my
point.
I also don't know, but I'm
willing. You don't
know?
No. Keeps the hot side hot, the cold side cold. That was the whole bit. You could go watch the commercial.
I can.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Thanks to Studs. Thanks to Ray. Thanks to Kevin Lapka. Thanks to Connor O'Donnell.
Brandon Fryer.
Layla and I are back together again on Monday.
Passover.
That's right. It's Passover, so Dan will be cooking for everyone.
I'm going to get a flourless chocolate cupcake, perhaps.
I think that's a good idea. Cubs baseball is on the way. Cubs Marlins is next. We'll see you on Monday at 10 o'clock. Peace.
Woo!
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.